The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 1, text number 22, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 14th, 2007, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So, this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 11, text 22.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kechit
karma vedantyenam svabhavam aparenripa ekikalam paredaivam pungsakamam mutapade.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The differentiation among varieties of life and their suffering and enjoyment is explained by some to be the result of karma. Others say it is due to nature. Others due to time. Others due to fate. And still others say that it is due to desire. Therefore, there are different types of philosophers. Mamayashukas, atheists, astronomers, sexualists, and so many other classifications of mental speculators. The real conclusion is that our work only binds us within this material world in different varieties of life. How these varieties have sprung up is explained in the Vedas. It is due to the desire of the living entity. The living entity is not a dead stone. He has different varieties of desire or kama. The Vedas say kamo karshit. The living entities are originally parts of the Lord, like sparks of a fire. But they have dropped to this material world, attracted by a desire to lord it over nature. That is a fact. Every living entity is trying to lord it over the material resources to the best of his ability. This kama, or desire, cannot be annihilated. There are some philosophers who say that if one gives up his desires, he again becomes liberated. But it is not at all possible to give up desire, for desire is a symptom of the living entity. If there were no desire, then the living entity would be a dead stone. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore advises that one turn his desire towards serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then desire becomes purified. And when one's desires are purified, one becomes liberated from all material contamination. The conclusion is that the different philosophers' theories to explain the varieties of life and their pleasure and pain are all imperfect. The real explanation is that we are eternal servants of God, and as soon as we forget this relationship, we are thrown into the material world where we create our different activities and suffer or enjoy the result. We are drawn into this material world by desire, but the same desire must be purified and employed in the devotional service of the Lord. Then our desire of wandering in the universe under different forms and conditions will end.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tamsajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, Srila Prabhupada has made it very clear in this purport. That desire cannot be annihilated. The Buddhists want to annihilate desire. They say that everything is zero or void. But yet they desire to annihilate desire. That is contradictory. If I say that desire is false, then I desire to achieve desirelessness. Then I am contradicting my own philosophy. Therefore, this sort of philosophy of denying desire is a very artificial, impractical philosophy. Vaishnava philosophy is the perfect philosophy. Because we admit the existence of desire. And we purify desire. We bring it back to its original pure state. Today one of my e-students sent me an email. She was complaining that, isn't your philosophy dualism? One of the students on my e-course, she wrote me a complaint today. Do you talk about loving God? So, your philosophy is to love God. So you admit there's a duality between the living being and God. So she was feeling there was some flaw with Krishna consciousness. Mistake. She was thinking that the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is imperfect. That it's a form of a philosophy known as dualism. She said that actually everything is one. She was thinking that is the perfect philosophy, everything is one. But my question is this, if everything is one, then how can love exist? And our practical experience is that we have happiness. The more we can love others, the more we become happy. As I've described recently, we all have that tendency for having a relationship. If we don't have friends or relatives which to keep a relationship, then what will we do? We will keep a dog so we can have a relationship with our dog. The desire for loving relationship is our natural tendency. So if everything is ultimately one, then you can't have love when you achieve perfection. But we experience without love, we cannot be happy. So how, therefore, could one derive happiness from the philosophy that everything is one? Of course, there is some peace in that philosophy. Because in this world we are always clashing with each other, isn't it? Fighting with each other. I'm fighting with you, you see. You are fighting with me. We are clashing. So the idea that everything is one, it gives some idea, well, at least there's some peace. But the philosophy of dualism, well, there's no unity because everybody's in their own little separate thing. So there's good and bad points both for monism and for dualism. So why don't we take the best of both and combine them? Take the good qualities of monism and the good qualities of dualism and combine them together to make a hybrid, new, improved philosophy. Actually, we don't have to do that because that, it's not new, it's the original philosophy. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. That the Absolute Truth is simultaneously, inconceivably, one and different. So that everything is one, we admit. But at the same time, it is dual or different. The monists say everything is one and the same. And we Vaishnavas say everything is one and different. So, halfway we agree with each other. We both say everything is one. But the second half, that's the difference, you see. They say everything is one and the same, we say everything is one and different. But if you begin to analyze their philosophy that everything is one and the same very minutely, you will see that it's full of so many flaws. For example, they say everything is one and the same. And we disagree with them, you see. But if everything is one and the same, there cannot be any disagreement. The fact that we disagree with them proves that their philosophy is wrong. Shishi Nitai Gora Chandra Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Namana Ki Jai. This is simple logic. The fact that we disagree proves that their philosophy is wrong. Because if everything is one and the same, then there's not even two different people to disagree with each other. If I am you and you are me and me is she and she is he and they are we and we are all together, then there cannot be any disagreement. And another fallacy is, if everything is one, then how can there even be the illusion of duality? They say that everything is Brahman, but they admit the state of illusion also. That now I'm in a state of illusion, and I must undergo a process of self-realization to come to the position of Brahman realization. So there's a duality there, you see. There's Brahman and there's Maya. If everything is one and the same, then that means there cannot be any illusion. The illusion can't exist. You can never lose your Brahman realization if everything is one. There cannot be any difference between being realized and not being realized. So it's this idea of everything is one is really a crazy philosophy. It's a madman's philosophy. Whereas this Vaishnava philosophy is perfect. This philosophy of dualism, I mean of monism, was introduced by Shankaracharya. Simply for the purpose of defeating Buddhism. The Buddhist philosophy is that everything is zero or void. They say that everything is nothing. That nothing exists. Which means that even the philosophy of non-existence doesn't really exist. So Buddhism is another madman's philosophy. But Shankaracharya, he came to teach the principle of all is one because it was very similar to saying everything is zero. And he introduced the Mayavadi philosophy by using especially the Vedanta Sutra to do that. He wanted to reintroduce Vedic culture back into India. Because Lord Buddha had completely destroyed Vedic culture. So Shankaracharya was successful in re-establishing Vedic culture. But it was based on a misinterpretation or a mispresentation of the Vedic teachings. And then after that time, a whole series of Vaishnava Acharyas came.
Mm-hmm.
And they gradually introduce the pure, total, complete understanding, achincha beta beta tattva. Just like Ramanujacharya, he introduced the philosophy Vishishta Dvaita. And then Madhavacharya introduced the philosophy. But these became perfect in the presentation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All these philosophies, all the philosophies culminated. When the philosophies, when Lord Chaitanya presented his teaching, that was the perfection of this philosophical evolution. And we are the fortunate recipients of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we will take full advantage of this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will make our lives successful, and we will go back home, back to Godhead. So the Acharyas are asking us that we should do this. They are telling us, give up your attachment to material sense gratification. And get out of this material existence. Do not remain in this cycle of birth and death. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
Jeigu paėmus į budistų filosofiją, budistai savo, kad viskas nulis, bet jeigu nulis, tai vis tiek kažkas tai yra.
The Buddhists say that everything is zero, voidness.
No, the Buddhists say everything is unreal. Nothing is real.
Nothing is real.
Nothing is real, yeah, that's Buddhism. They deny reality. There's no such thing as reality. Everything is false. Everything is void. There's nothing actually even exists. You do not exist. God does not exist. Oneness does not exist. Nothing exists. Completely annihilate everything. Brahman does not exist. There is nothing, that's all. That's Buddhism. Yeah.
Šiandien girdėjau. Norėjau klausti, kaip budizmą praktikuoja paprasti žmonės. Mes žinom, kad vis tiek nes jie ir gyvena, ir dauginasi, ir viską. Kaip, nes atrodytų, kad jeigu viskas nulis, tai nėra prasmės nieko apskritai veikti. Tiesiog reikia kažkaip užsimti kažkokį praktiką, kad tiesiog viskas.
How does the simple practitioners of Buddhism live? And
well, there's no one really following the strict teachings of Lord Buddha. Maybe a few monks somewhere, but
because
the normal modern day Buddhists are engaged in all sinful activities. They're karmis.
Because they also have to live, eat, and
It's impractical. If nothing exists, then there's nobody to even become realized.
Nes tai yra nepraktiška, jeigu niekas neegzistuoja, tai
They have Zen. They have Buddhist monasteries where the Zen monks sit there in these rigid postures, and if they fall asleep, they come and hit them with a cane. You see. And they meditate on absurd, what they call koans or riddles, like they have one, what is the sound of one hand clapping? One hand like clapping? What if one hand claps? What is the sound of one hand clapping? They meditate on that and they try to break through and enter into nothingness by meditating on that koan. But I have rewritten that koan. What is the sound of one hand slapping? When you realize how you're being cheated by the Zen master, you can slap the Zen master, you see. Yes. It doesn't fit together very well, really.
Buddhist philosophy yra viskas nulis ir tuštuma, bet jie taip pat iškės pripažįsta, kad yra veiksmas ir atoveiksmas. Kaip tai galima sujungti kartu, mokytojas sako, kad iš tikrųjų nelabai čia susijungia.
They teach the principle of karma.
Jie moko karmos principą.
But if everything is zero, then you didn't really do anything and nothing really happened to you. You're not even there to do anything. It's like that songwriter, he wrote one song, "Hey, I'm so unreal, I don't even exist at all." But who was singing the song? You see? So it does. This Buddhist philosophy is absurd. And Shankara's philosophy is also absurd. But this Vaishnava philosophy, it is perfect. Any other questions?
How should we appreciate when non-devotee, materialistic person would go to take up Buddhism, practice of Buddhism, and because he maybe will not take up Krishna consciousness, how should we think about it? Because sometimes we think that if he took Buddhism, it's better than nothing.
Well, it depends on what sort of Buddhism they're practicing. There's some so-called Buddhists who chant one mantra. Nam ye go ren ke koho or something like that, to fulfill all material desires. I forget the exact mantra, nam ke kyo ren ke kyoho or something like that. They chant one mantra to fulfill all material desires. I met these Buddhists in California one time in Berkeley, California. I met these so-called Buddhists. And they said, if you chant this mantra, you will get all your desires fulfilled. If you want a new car, you'll get a new car. You just got to chant this mantra. So they're following that type of Buddhism, and it's better they don't do that. If they become an ascetic monk living in a monastery doing zazen or the Zen meditation, you know, 12 hours a day, that might be better than that's better than having illicit sex. Because at least the Zen monks have to practice celibacy, you see. But how many people here from Kaunas are going to go to Japan to live in a Zen monastery? So what people call Buddhism is generally far, far from the life of a monk.
Tai, ką žmonės vadina budizmu, dažnai būna labai toli nuo vienuolio gyvenimo.
But if they do take up a monk's life of giving up sexual activities, then there's some progress there.
Bet jeigu jie priima vienuolio gyvenimą, atmeta neleisnius lytinius santykius, tai jie padarys tam tikrą progresą.
Real Buddhism means a life of austerity.
Tikras budizmas reiškia asketiškas gyvenimas.
Giving up all forms of sense gratification.
Atmetant visas jausmų tenkinimo formas.
For the purpose of entering into void.
Su tikslu, kad pasinerti į tuštumą.
So there could be some benefit.
Na, ir galima kažkiek tai gauti naudos iš to.
But we'll have to see how they come out at the end.
Bet reikia žiūrėti, kaip jiems pasibaigia pabaigoje.
A thing is judged by its result. We sometimes see that people who were studying Buddhist philosophy and appreciating it, they end up becoming devotees. So the best thing is to encourage them that this is the perfection of Buddhism. Krishna consciousness is the perfection of Buddhism.
Krishna samanė yra budizmo tobulumas.
Because Lord Buddha is actually an incarnation of Krishna.
Kadangi Buddha iš tikrųjų buvo Krishnos inkarnacija.
So why not just immediately achieve the perfection of bhakti?
Tai kodėl ne iš karto pasistengti pasiekti bhakti tobulumą?
By becoming a devotee of that Supreme Person, Lord Krishna, who appeared as Buddha.
Tampant Viešpaties Krishnas atsidavusiu, kuris įsikūnijo kaip Buddha.
Why do severe austerities of only having one little bowl of brown rice every day?
Kodėl užsiimti vien tik tais askezėm, valgant tik tais nedidelį?
When you can have nice, tasty Krishna prasadam.
Nedidelį garstytę ryžių, kai tuo metu, kai jūs galite valgyti nuostabų prasadą Krishnos.
You see. This is intelligence.
They are
bring them to Krishna consciousness. Next question. Yes.
Some Buddhist Christians, Pravoslavs or some other day.
Some Buddhists what?
Some Buddhists, Christians or Pravoslavs, which is Russian Christians.
Oh, okay.
They say, oh, we don't wish to read those books, we don't wish to be in touch at all, they don't want to to have any relation with Krishna consciousness, because okay. they say you are very much austere, you just love your God, yourself, and you just completely out of all other world. So what to do?
They complain about Krishna consciousness because we're detached from the world?
Yeah, from we just love God and ourselves, and she tried to convince that it is not like this, but they not accept them. What to do with such a people?
Hmm. Well, if they depends to the Christian, you would say one thing; to the Buddhist, you would say another thing. They criticize, the Christians criticize the Krishna consciousness movement that we are detached from material association. But this means they did not carefully read their own Bible. One man, he wanted to join the Lord Jesus movement. So he came to Lord Jesus and said, I want to surrender and become your disciple. So Lord Jesus said, very good. And the man said, but first I have to go and bury my dead relative. So you know what Jesus said? He said, let the dead bury the dead. So if they are running after dead people, but they are running after material association, they are not the true Christians. Nor are they the true Buddhists. We have no objection if someone follows Buddhism or Christianity. But let them do it perfectly. Let them not be a materialist in the name of Christianity. In the name of Buddhism. And let people not be materialists in the name of Krishna consciousness also. One has to be detached from material association. To be perfect in any spiritual path. So their criticism of us means that actually they are critical of real Buddhism and real Christianity also. They are simply taking a cheating form of pseudo-religion to be religion, that's all. Dharma prajjita kaitava utraparamo nirmatsaranam satam. This Srimad Bhagavatam completely rejects all forms of religion that are materially motivated. So let them become real Christians, real Buddhists. We have no objection. But they must not remain cheater.
That's all.
Next question. Yeah.
Žinom, kad yra viešpatys inkarnacijos ir žinom, kad jūs egzistuoja amžinai dvasinio pasaulyje ir turi savo buveinės amžinas. Ir kaip viešpats Buda, kur jo?
We know that Krishna has many incarnations in many forms, and those forms, they have their abodes in the spiritual world. Does Buddha also has his abode in the spiritual world?
I don't remember. I've heard something about it, but I don't remember. Sometimes Lord Buddha is described as a incarnation of Krishna. Sometimes he's described as a jiva soul, who's empowered jiva. So the answer is, I don't know. I can look in the Veda base. If you have the Veda, anyone who has the Veda base can look for that Buddha. Just type and do a search on Buddha and planet. See if you find a match in the Veda base. Any other question? You had a question?
There are very aggressive nihilistic Buddhism groups, and they're very aggressive. And how do they, are they very dangerous? How devotee should deal with them?
A devotee is very kind to everyone. Because everyone is suffering due to a lack of Krishna consciousness. Anyone who is innocent is willing to hear. We take all time and all trouble to enlighten them in the science of Krishna consciousness. For those who are envious, who want to convince us to give up Krishna consciousness, we avoid their association. Because there are so many people who are open and innocent, who are willing to hear about Krishna consciousness. Why don't we spend our time with them? And the more that one becomes expert, the more that one can induce others, even atheists, to take an interest in these books of Srila
Prabhupada.
So if you truly want to benefit the human society, then take Prabhupada's books and go on Sankirtan. And try to convince everyone to take a book. Whether they be Buddhist, whether they be Christian, whether they be atheist, whether they be sexualist or Mayavadi, without any discrimination, simply offer everyone walking up and down the Kona street. The supreme benediction of Prabhupada's books. Any other question?
Kas nors knygas platina ir tie žmonės, kurie knygas gauna patobulėjo, tai ar tas žmogus irgi gauna tą tobulėjimą savo.
It is said that one who helps to advance in Krishna consciousness to others, he also gets that benefit from the same benefit that from those people who advance.
That's right.
So if we are distributing books, and some people, after taking them, they advance in Krishna consciousness. Are we getting also that benefit?
Yes. The more that anyone who you distribute a book to, the more that they advance in Krishna consciousness, you get the benefit of their advancement.
Kuo daugiau jūs išplatina knygų ir tie nuo tų, kurie pažengia krikščionių sąmonę, jūs gaunate taip pat.
And when they advance even more than you, and when they advance even further, you get even more benefit.
Kuo labiau jie pažengia, tai jūs gaunate dar daugiau tos naudos pažangos.
So it is the best investment in your future advancement.
Tai yra pati geriausia investicija į jūsų ateities pažangą.
Distribute book, distribute book, distribute book as much as possible. And just by dint of the potency of Prabhupada's books, you will make incredible advancement.
Is
that a question, brother?
He was asking yesterday about humility. Can he continue in connection with this question? Can he ask again?
Yes. What is the question?
So, if a person is got in touch with Krishna consciousness, he understands philosophy, but he is very proud, but still he cannot give up this pride. And also he cannot take up guru initiation, because still he's on the lower level, and you explained yesterday. So he also maybe...
Was it about yesterday?
Yesterday he told that he's too proud, he should not take...
You met someone told you this yesterday.
No, yesterday...
I was saying, you were talking yesterday. Oh, okay.
And so should he try to serve devotees, but he also cannot serve because of his pride. So what should he do? How should he start?
So if one is completely infected by pride, then you cannot take shelter of guru. You cannot serve Vaishnavas. Then what is that person attracted to? Is he attracted to chanting? Is there something that he's willing to do?
Ar yra bent kas, ką jis norėtų daryti? In general, I'm speaking about myself, but I'm trying to serve the devotees, but not because I'm willing to do so, just because it's required. So,
yes, you have no taste. The easy formula is this, Prabhu.
Tokia paprasta formulė yra tokia.
You have to find out devotees who have taste for these things.
Jūs turite surasti atsidavusius, kurie turi skonį tam.
And you have to associate with them as much as possible.
Jūs turite bendrauti su jais kiek įmanoma daugiau.
Because such taste or ruchi is a contagious disease.
Kadangi tas skonis ruchi, tai yra tokia užkrečiama liga.
If you associate with people who have the disease of taste,
yes, jeigu jūs bendraujate su žmonėm, kurie turi tokią skonio ligą,
you'll be infected with that disease.
Tai jūs užsikrėsite.
And you will also develop taste.
Ir jūs taip pat išvystysit skonį.
It's simply a matter of good association.
Tai yra tik tais gero bendravimo klausimas.
And you may say, well, I sometimes associate with devotees who have taste, but then they go away. I get a little taste when they're around, but then as soon as they go away, I dry up again.
Kai jie yra šalia, aš įgyju truputį skonio, man patinka, bet kai tik jie išvažiuoja, aš visas išdžiūvęs.
So, how I will get taste in their absence?
Taigi, kaip man turėti skonį, kai jų nėra šalia?
You have to keep them in your heart.
Jūs turite įsidėti jas į savo širdį.
And then you will always get their association.
Ir jūs tada visada turėsite su jais bendravimą.
And you will always get taste.
Ir visada turėsite skonį.
So simply you must find devotees who have taste.
Taigi suraskite tos atsidavusius, kurie turi skonį.
And you must invite them to move into your heart.
Ir turite pakviesti juos, kad apsigyventų jūsų širdį.
And then you will be relishing the sweetest taste at every minute.
Tada jūs patirsite patį saldžiausią skonį kiekvieną.
Saru sanga, saru sanga, sarva shastre kai, lava matra sava, saru sanga, sarva sri hoi. This is the secret.
Tai yra tokia paslaptis.
All right, so now time and tide waits for no man. Our schedule is, now we are leaving. We appear to be leaving. Actually, you have captured us in your hearts, so we cannot really leave.
Iš tikrųjų, tai jūs mus sugavote savo širdyse, mes negalim išvažiuoti.
You Kaunas devotees have given us so much love.
Kauno atsidavęs suteikė mums tiek daug meilės.
That you have captured us in your hearts, we are captive, we are tied up by your love.
Mes dabar esam surakinti jūsų meilės.
So, we're not really leaving.
Tai iš tikrųjų, mes neišvažiuojam.
We're just making an external show of leaving.
Mes tik tais išoriškai išvykstam.
And we will be coming back in October. So we thank you very much for your wonderful kindness upon us. And we pray to Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas that they will bless you with unlimited bhakti. And that you can create a spiritual revolution here in Kaunas. That you can make thousands and thousands of devotees here. Gandharad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah.